So that's what faith can do. We've been studying this year, we'll be studying 12 powers or 12 of the spiritual abilities that we're all born with. They're inherent within us. They have been founded by co-founder of Unity, Charles Fillmore. He studies the Bible from that metaphysical point of view to see what traits each person, place, situation have, recognizing that everything in the Bible is not a story about others, it's a story about us. So I am choosing every month to focus on one of the abilities, powers that we have, so you become more conscious of it. So when you're conscious of something, and then you can use that for your benefit. And this month, you might have guessed that it might be about faith. Faith is that power. And so the definition, we started last week, and the definition from Hebrews 11:1 is that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. So we talked about that definition last week, spoke about that there's levels of faith in the faith condo, because we had a faith condo, and they started in the basement of despair, moving up to hope, going up to blind faith, and then understanding faith. Understanding faith being that we understand the laws of the universe, which if you take the Discover Your Divinity class, you'll learn more about. And yes, I will be giving plugs for it today, but you're all signing up, so I'm not needing to go into that. So we talked about that faith condo and how we can, and ways that we can increase our own faith. Now, I couldn't remember what the acronym for faith was that came through me. And at first it was full acceptance or fully accepted, yeah, full acceptance in this happening. Spirit corrected, and I like this one even better. Fully accepting, it's totally happening. I'm like, okay, boss. Okay, so Great Spirit goes, yeah, that's the acronym. Fully accepting, it's totally happening. So then we looked at last week, I'm just doing a brief overview, from this book by the same author as the one that you're all signing up for, but this one is called Divine Audacity, and it is a study of the 12 powers. I highly recommend you get this book because I will be sharing pieces and parts of it, but if you want a deeper understanding of each of the powers, then you might want to get this. So she talks about each of the powers, and she breaks them down into three components. So I shared this last week, that the first component, and yes, it's a quiz. We'll see who remembers. I know, they're like, shoot, I didn't bring my notes. You did, Sandy. We have a teacher's pet in the front, but you know, you got to have at least one. So the first component of faith is what? No, it starts with a P. Perception. Our faith is based on our perception. Now, however, perception is based on our what? Belief. See, the truth is, and I said this last week, and I'm sure you all chewed on it for the week, is that we never see things as they are. You can't see things as they are. You see things as you believe they are. You can only see things as you believe they are. Alex might be believing something and believing something about the flowers, but Sydney's thinking something wholly different. You see them differently because you believe, have different beliefs. They color your perception. So your beliefs are number one about everything in your life. It's done unto you as you believe. And the good thing, good news, is you can change your beliefs. It is possible, and we talked about that last week. So, second component starts with a C. Huh? Conviction. Bah! And conviction is the mindset of faith. Conviction is when you believe without a doubt 100% that what I believe is absolutely true, no doubt whatsoever. Conviction. You have to have that conviction. Not wishy-washy. Faith is maybe. No. Real faith, conviction. And I want to share with you from Ernest Holmes, the founder of Science of Mind. He writes in a chapter called Vitalizing Faith. In order to have faith, he says, we must have, what's the word? Conviction. Must have conviction that all is well. Now, in order to keep faith, we must allow nothing to enter our thought which will weaken this conviction. Faith is built up from belief, acceptance, and trust. Belief, acceptance, and trust. Faith is built on BAT, okay? There's an acronym for you, BAT. Belief, acceptance, and trust. That is how our faith is built. Whenever anything enters into our thought which destroys in any degree one of these attitudes, to that extent, our faith is weakened. Our mind must be steady in its conviction that our life is the divine life and that spirit is incarnated in each and every one of us. We must be steady in that conviction. Discover your divinity is going to tell you this so you can really maybe anchor it, have it land. Because you hear the words, but is it something you live by, embody? Affirmations and denials are for the purpose of vitalizing our faith, for the purpose of converting our thoughts to a belief in things spiritual. See, everything in life comes from our consciousness. And this can be changed with a little effort and doing this together by doing some studies. Ernest goes on to say, pure faith is a spiritual conviction. It is the acquiescence of the mind. It is the embodiment of an idea and the acceptance of a concept. If we believe that spirit incarnated in us can demonstrate, and it can, shall we be disturbed at what appears to contradict this? This is going into the idea of not judging by appearance. I don't see it, but I know that this is happening. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. That is conviction. And we can build our conviction. Knowing that when we speak as the authority of the divine, nothing can oppose it. We stand in truth. Truth sets us free, and it is spiritual truth that I'm speaking of. And that's why we do book studies. That's why we study deeper. So we get a different idea because we're not conditioned or trained or taught spiritual laws, right? Most of us have, it's like, you come in here and go, really? There's no such thing as sin? Correct. We don't believe in sin. You weren't born with sin, and somebody didn't have to die for your sins in order for you to be saved and go to heaven or hell. That's just not even the truth of what Jesus, the great way show or metaphysical teacher, came to teach us, to show us, to demonstrate, and said, everything I can do, you can do too. So that is conviction. There's a little more on that. So one of the best examples of conviction, some of you may know of the story if you're a Bible person. There is a centurion who comes to Jesus and says, please heal my servant. Jesus' reply, go your way. Thou hast belief, so be it done unto thee. And the centurion went, okay, good, and left. Just said, because the centurion understood the spiritual law of spiritual authority. See, in the realm where the centurion lived, he was accustomed to speaking his word with authority. And when he spoke his word with authority, things got done. Well, he accepted that the word of Jesus as having authority in the invisible plane. Now, here's the truth. You have that same spiritual authority. You just don't know it. We have spiritual authority. We have not embodied that truth. I can speak the word. You can speak the word with absolute conviction, and it will come to be. But we're like, right? We're still working on getting that solid. So the centurion demonstrated conviction. And Jesus even said, I have not found so great a faith in all of Israel. I would like to have that type of faith where I just went, and that it's not that I have to go to somebody to say, speak the word. I can go, no, I have that. I am that. And I'm going to use that in my own life and see how well that works when I believe. So the centurion had this conviction. He also had belief, acceptance, and trust, the BAT, BAT. And how you can build your BAT is to, again, study to deepen your beliefs. Now, the third component the centurion also had. There was a third component of faith from Linda Martelowitz-Setz, and it starts with an E. What was that?
Expectancy.
Yes, Charlotte is the... See, it's interesting that my... yes, my notes taker, but it's interesting. The teacher pets are right across the aisle from each other. Isn't that interesting? Well, we know where the teacher's pet sit, but it's expectancy, and that's not expectation, because expectancy, again, as I said last week, is something that you expect something good is going to happen, but you're not putting a frame around it saying it has to be this way. The centurion had conviction, also had a perception knowing that there was truth here, and therefore he was expecting he'd go home and his person would be healed. And so he had that expectancy. And I shared with you how to have expectancy staying open. Was at the end of anything that you are declaring, you say the words, this or something better. Let's say it together. This or something better. Because we're giving spirit the room to give us something better, to bring, the universe can bring us something greater. So I'm going to share with you another story. And this story, some of you may know, but we're going to add some elements of metaphysical interpretation and how this is actually about you. And you'll have to wait until we get past that story to hear that part. There's a story in the Bible, David and Goliath. So this is about David, the giant killer. And it's when the Israelites, blah, my tongue is like, and Philistines confronted each other and they were ready for a battle. And there was two hills, and one day David came to the Israelite camp with food from home for his brothers because he was the youngest and he couldn't be in the army. When he arrived, he heard Goliath was challenging any Israelite to come out and fight him. Well, the soldiers looked at Goliath and said, not happening. They were reluctant to take the challenge because he was a giant. He was 9 1/2 feet tall, loaded with armor. His appearance just terrorized the Israelites. Well, David went, I'm going to fight him. He took up this challenge. The other soldiers thought, he's ridiculous, and he's just going to get killed like that. So they took him to Saul, the king, to get permission. Saul, too, was very reluctant, but David convinced him. So David told Saul of his experience as a shepherd, and he had to fight off the bears and other wild animals. So Saul, the king, finally consented, but said, here, you need to wear my armor, because you just can't go out there without any armor on. But to David, the armor of Saul was a burden. So David instead took his sling, and on his way, he picked up 5 smooth stones from the riverbed. When Goliath saw David coming to meet him, he was flabbergasted. He said, am I a dog, you're coming at me with sticks? And he cursed David and he laughed at him. He thought, this is going to be nothing, you know, this little kid. He says, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds and the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Well, Goliath's sarcasm and threats didn't scare David. David said to the giant, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And he went even further and said, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you dead and cut off your head. Goliath probably laughed at this outburst of confidence from this scrawny little kid, no armor. He didn't think David has any chance, so they came together in the middle of these two hills for battle. And David took the stone, puts it in his sling, and slung the stone at the giant, hitting him, where? Right in the middle of the forehead. There's no armor there. And that stone sank into the giant's forehead. He fell to the ground. David ran over, took the giant's sword, and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw what happened to Goliath, they panicked and they fled, and the Israelites obviously won. They defeated them. Now, on a higher level of interpretation, when we believe our cause is right and believe that Spirit is with us and within us, we can succeed at facing any challenge, however big or difficult it may be, or scary. Are you listening? All challenges that seem to defeat us begin in the mind. Our perceptions cause us to be afraid. The giant represents the giant big misconceptions and beliefs in our minds that are really false. Okay? Now we're going to go into what all this represents. So the giant is right here in each of our minds. We're loaded with misconceptions, misperceptions about God, about ourselves, and about our world. And we think that our perceptions are true. What we believe, and a belief, the definition of a belief is a thought I hold to be true. And the thought might not even be true. So many of us judge ourselves and others by appearances and not by truth. We also have a lot of religious misconceptions and may be afraid to challenge the giant religious concepts, thinking God might disapprove and send us to hell. The truth is, there is no hell in the first place to be afraid of. Hell is actually a state of consciousness, as is heaven. We should never be afraid to question or even reject the beliefs that we have come to know and that are false. So David is the part of us that knows the truth and is not afraid, can stand in the face of fear in his own mind, whatever it is that's facing us, willing to face the giant misperceptions, false beliefs. And David has this simple trust and faith in the power and presence of the divine within, knowing that nothing can defeat Spirit. It is the everything. It is that power and presence. So like David, each one of us may have a challenge. How big is your challenge? Every one of us in this room, in this world, has some form of challenge. There isn't anybody who doesn't. That's what I know. And in that challenge, there's often fears. Right? Just say yes. Yes. Just agree with me. That's good. David stands firm, and he challenges the fear, the belief that is in his face. And he takes this smooth stone, which is a rock of truth, right? And he takes that and he shoots it right at the lie, at the illusion, at the misperception, as the misconception. And right in the head, that spiritual truth that you are standing on can get us past the fears. That is why we want to ground ourselves in spiritual truth. Because the spiritual truth is the rock. Peter was known as the rock of the all of, and he was the one of faith. Upon this faith, I will build the church. Where's my, yeah, there we go. So I want to share this because it was so well written. It only took one stone to do the seemingly impossible to this giant. The stone sank into the forehead. And the forehead is the symbol of the imagination. That is where many human giants are located, the many misconceptions we hold in our mind. He is the human vision of life. That giant is our negative thinking, and it is not the person in our lives that we think is making our lives miserable. The giant is not the job or the lack of one. The giant is not anything outside of us. The giant is in our imagination. It is our big negative thinking about other outer things in our lives. Knowing this, that we don't have to struggle with that and battle with people and things. We do not have to eliminate people in our lives. What we need to do is to defeat the imaginary giant that we think is so real. Is this getting real? Right? It's not just a story. The cause of all manifestation is in our consciousness. Nothing happens by faith or chance. We may not know what is in our consciousness that ties us to the situations and people in our lives, but we can be sure that there is something that must be worked out. It makes no difference whether we know or understand this. The ego likes to elude any personal responsibility by blaming people and things. You never do that, so you're off the hook. And the human ego justifies everything through rationalization. Take, for example, somebody who says, someone is making my life miserable. He says to himself, if it wasn't for so-and-so, I'd be happy. What he should be saying is, if it was not for the attitude I have about this person, I would be happy. We should remember it's a lot easier to change our minds than change another person. We got some truth happening here. If there is any lack in our lives, we must get rid of the giant in us that believes that we have to have lack. We must have the simple faith of David, that believes that spirit within provides for all of our needs. The truth is, no one can make you unhappy, and no one can keep your good from you. Only the misconception, the big giant of lack and limitation, can do that. The truth accepted in consciousness can change any outer situation. It may not happen overnight, but we can defeat all the Goliaths that come into the scene of our minds. Like David, we may have many battles and fears and other wild human thoughts, but these battles strengthen us. They strengthen our trust in the power and the presence of the divine within. What do you think about that? Right? Have you ever heard the David and Goliath story like that? How many of you would like to have that faith of David? Everybody. That's awesome. So here's the truth. David did not have faith in God. Let me repeat that. David did not have faith in God. And you're like, what? David had the faith of God. David had the faith of God. When we realize principle number 2 in unity principles, we realize that we are the divine in expression. So how can it be any other way? I said we have spiritual authority. I'm a God being, and so are you. Ernest Holmes also says, we have to grow up and mature in this matter of faith. We need not so much to have faith in God as we need to have the faith of God. But when we petition God in a prayer, we are expressing a hope that there will be a response. And we are not expressing the faith of God. On the other hand, when our prayers take the form of declaration and acceptance, then we have the faith of God, the faith of the divine within us, knowing that everything is working out. So I'm going to go into completion through sharing with you how to have that. How do you demonstrate? How do you get into having this particular faith that David had? And I call it the ART, A-R-T, the ART of Faith. Because, you know, acronyms help us remember things, right? At least me. And so the A in the faith, in the ART of Faith, stands for action. Faith demands action. How many of you ever heard the phrase, faith without works is dead? It's dead. And so you must take a step. The Dalai Lama says, there is sometimes a tendency to think of the spiritual life as primarily introspective, divorced from the concerns of everyday life and society. He says, faith that does not translate into actions is no faith at all. Okay, so you have to take a step. How many of you remember the story of Indiana Jones, the character, right? And he was searching for the Holy Grail, and he came to this big cavern, and he needed to move forward, but he was going to fall to sure death, and he heard the voice of his father saying, if you believe, and he was searching for the Holy Grail. So what does he do? He takes a step into that cavern, and oh my God, it rises up, and there's a step, and then there's another step, and it rises up, and he's able to make all the steps to the Holy Grail. So what is your Holy Grail? What is the thing that you would love to have be or do? What is the fear that is blocking you? Take a minute to just take a breath, go within, and ask, what is my Holy Grail? What would I love? What would I love to have, do, or be? Let something come to mind. And now ask, what is the step I need to take? And listen. We have an inner guide that will give us steps. You can open your eyes if you care to. Take one step in the next week. As you take one step, it'll lead to the next step and the next step. Each step reveals the next step. So A is for action. That is the feeling, that is the physical dimension of faith, taking action. The R stands for, what is it you feel when you have 100% faith? R stands for, if I have 100% faith, I'm relaxed. Oh, yeah, right? You're not tense. Everything's working out. This is done deal. I'm relaxed. That is the feeling of faith, of trust. It's all working out. I'm not tense at all. And that relaxed keeps us open. And how do you become relaxed? You use the other power of your imagination, which we studied in January. Take time every day to imagine what it is that you would love, that you've taken steps, that you've accomplished. And in that time, oh, what does it feel like to have this? And let yourself relax. Do that daily, and the more you do that, the more relaxed and trust you'll build through using your imagination. Relaxed. So you're taking action. You're feeling relaxed. And now when you have taken some action, you trust and you feel relaxed, the only thing you can naturally be is T. Thankful. Yeah, right? You're thankful. You are thankful. Because thanking the universe before it delivers is the key of faith. It is the dimension of going, you're thanking the universe for something that hasn't arrived or been delivered or you can't see. You give thanks to the universe and the universe going, wow, I got to thank you before I even delivered. I think we need to speed up the order. That's just my perception. So it's up to you as to what you do or not do. You sign up for the class, you don't sign up for the class. It's your choice. I know. You take a step, you relax, and you're thankful because you are the art of faith. And so it is.